Good evening, Wahoos and ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, always tall, always silly, Jim Hobgood. UVA's basketball team has rebounded nicely during the holidays with some good wins over LSU and last night's quasi-blowout against Howard. UVA basketball and football recruiting are looking pretty good these days. And all the other Cavalier sports...
Days, okay.
All these other Cavalier sports are gearing up for big winter, spring seasons. We're glad that you've joined us.
Well, yes, we are indeed glad that you're with us tonight. This is Hobbo. We have another exciting show lined up tonight. To my left, Frank's right. None other than Terry Gates is in studio tonight. So we have a lot of basketball expertise right here between Frank, Michael Tusky, Terry, yours truly. Later on in the show, we got the Sabres' Chris Wright will join us, and he'll update us on all the latest news from Charlottesville, including a preview of the UNC game, which I see on a press release is sold out for Saturday. So
hot dog.
Should be a great atmosphere in JPJ on Saturday. So we're looking forward to that, a noon start on Saturday. More about that later. Frank will tell you right now how to follow the show.
Obviously, we encourage call-ins tonight. The number to call is 345-0910, 345-0910. Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and also thesaber.com. All of our shows are archived on the Saber. We encourage everyone to also go to our Facebook page, just search Who's Talking and become a fan. Your questions and comments are always welcome, either by Facebook or you can call in to 345-0910.
Yeah, and 345-0910. If you have a question for those of us assembled here, including Mr. Gates, please call in and ask, and we'll try to respond. Wahoos now 10-5, 1-0 in the ACC, as Frank said, coming off wins over LSU on Sunday and Howard Bison, right?
Right.
They're the Bison. So a big night last night for Mustafa Farrakhan, knocking down 31 and, 8 of 9 from outside the three-point line. That's good even in an empty gym.
I'm impressed.
What the heck?
We'll take it.
Particularly coming off the game that we saw last week on Thursday night against Iowa State.
Oh, that was a rim rattler.
Which was not very pretty. I still think they need to take the microphones off the rims over there at JPJ. It's a little discouraging. Although now that they have a sellout crowd on Saturday, it won't vibrate throughout the arena quite as much. But nevertheless, 10-5, and maybe we could go straight to Terry Gates, a man who needs very little introduction. I guess Terry was on; he was on the team in the golden era of Virginia basketball back when Ralph Sampson was playing, a Final Four team in 1981. Was the radio analyst for 10 years?
10 years.
Yeah. So a man who knows his basketball. So Terry. Break down the season, 10-5. What's the good news and bad news thus far in the first 15 games?
Well, 10-5 is a good number for, I guess, what the expectations were. There's some nice quality wins in there when you look at the at Minnesota, at Virginia Tech. You beat Oklahoma.
Oklahoma out in Maui.
And Maui, so you won one game there. Could have been 0-3 easy out there.
Yeah.
Well, that's why Chaminade's in the tournament, though, to keep everybody from at least being 0-3.
Well, how about you? Yeah.
Although, did they beat somebody this year?
They did.
I think they did. Did they beat Oklahoma?
I think Oklahoma got bageled.
Yeah, the trifecta. That's not good. Yeah,
you factor the 10-5. You've got Sammy missing some time, so that gave some other people opportunity to play. So that's it's a positive and it's a negative. He's really not on top of his game right now. And, not having Mike Scott suit up the last couple of games is really it's a blow to that team and that team's potential. It has opened up some doors from some other players, but coming crunch time here when you're playing UNC on Saturday at noon, you're going to want to have a Michael Scott, in your starting lineup, and it appears that he's not going to make it.
Which leads to a question. Can Virginia beat Carolina without Mike Scott?
Well, it puts a lot more pressure on Mustafa to hit some shots because we've all seen some games this year where it's kind of patty cake, just passing the ball around the perimeter, and nobody wants to shoot, and all of a sudden you see Sammy sitting next to Coach Bennett. He comes in the game because someone's going to have to shoot the basketball, and that's the tough things for these first-year kids that haven't played a whole lot. It's easy to take shots when you've got Mike Scott at the block, and he's having two people guard him. You're open. But if he's not in there garnering defensive attention, they play you head up. You're not as open as you used to be. And then if you're not hitting shots, if Sammy's not hitting shots, if Mustafa isn't.
Joe Harris.
You know, and Harris is, he's a bombing away. And, you know, in my opinion, I think that the team kind of revolves around what Jontel Evans can create and what JT Harris can create.
Good news on that front. As we pointed out in the last show, there were very few assists by any of the Cavalier guards against Seattle and Norfolk State.
Well, Frank, you have to score to have an assist.
You make a good point. I know we were shooting like, you know, iceberg percentages.
I know what you're saying, but you got to score. There's no such thing as assists where you don't score. Okay?
Well, they weren't creating either. That was really the ultimate point that I was trying to make.
Well, it's difficult, though. I mean, you know, the Iowa State game we were at, Iowa State, whoever was guarding Jontel was backing off about 8 to 10 feet. Mm-hmm. It's hard to beat somebody off the dribble if they're giving you 8 or 10 feet, because that's one of the things you hope to do even without a Mike Scott. If the other team's playing man-to-man, maybe you can beat somebody off the dribble, break down the defense, and then kick it out on the perimeter and get an open look. The one thing about Iowa State that struck me is Terry, as you say, they were just sort of circling on the perimeter, and nobody was anxious to take a shot, in part because they weren't open. They weren't really getting
they're
very many good.
Really open, and then they've missed a few. And if Mustafa, if he's 0-4, I don't know if he really wants the ball. And then Sammy has had his issues. But case in point, the LSU game, Jontel Evans, 4-7, 8 points, 6 assists, 32 minutes. When he has that type of game, it's a different team.
Absolutely.
Well, and he made an early jump shot in that game. Yeah. He didn't, you know, he elevated to shoot it, and I was watching on TV. It didn't look like he shot it with the greatest amount of confidence that I've ever seen, but it went in, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's funny when you make that first shot.
It's
sometimes
first three they made, you could see you could feel the pressure come off of him.
Yeah, and he was able to get out in transition once or twice, and I think two or three of those baskets were close to the rim, were not necessarily jump shots. And then as Frank pointed out, I mean, against Howard, and maybe Howard's not the best team in the country, but what you look at, Jontel had 10 assists against 2 turnovers, which is a very nice line. The disappointing part, he didn't score, but I guess when you got Mustafa on the perimeter making 8 of 9 from 3, you want to get the ball to the hot hand.
Yeah, when you shoot, 76% in the first half, you don't have to, you know.
Right.
That's what the team's doing. You can take one shot and miss it, no big deal, but you're right. To get 10 assists, Frank, they scored 32 field goals. So,
yeah.
You can't. It's like when people say, well, we got out-rebounded. Well, we got out-rebounded because we missed a lot more shots than they did, and they got those. It's rebounding opportunities you got to look at.
Right.
And
well, that was the complaint when Terry Gates and I were both in the game. There was never an opportunity for an offensive rebound because the shots all went in.
See? Boy, I tell you, your memories are a little dim. going back to present time, KT Harrell, to me, has been sort of the glue over the last couple of games in that with his dribble, jumpers, he's elevated and made some big buckets. Another thing that's happened is both with Mustafa and KT Harrell, they've been able to run some curl plays and then they've run some picks away from the ball and so forth, and they've done some handing off on the dribble drive sort of deal near the foul line. And all of a sudden, they've been able to open up a little bit of space, even though Mike Scott hadn't been in the game. I think, and I would be shocked if Mike Scott doesn't play this Saturday, I think they deliberately held him out of this game on Tuesday. I've been talking to a number of people in Charlottesville and outside Charlottesville who follow the program, and the thinking is, even though he's at his 10-game limit for the medical redshirt waiver, which, you know, he can't play unless they're going to forego that, Bennett realizes he needs Scott this year to make any kind of real dent in having a quality season and maybe go to the NIT or sneak in the back door to the NCAA.
So, yeah, but he could use him really next year because, I mean, his first 9 games, he was first, second team all ACC. He was playing very well. And
5 double doubles.
You know.
Well, there's a big the difference between Mike Scott, Ahsan Sen, Akil Mitchell, and Will Riggin is dramatic.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, it makes the difference between having an interior offense and not having one. And, you know, I still go back. It's like football. You got to have running and passing game. And the problem Virginia has without Mike Scott is teams just fan the defense out on the perimeter, and it makes it difficult to get those open looks.
So then the question I would ask both you guys, if Scott does not play and they give him more time to see what his ankle does, all right, will they take the red shirt off of Johnson? The 6'10" kid from California.
Not at this point in time.
It's pretty
so.
Late for that, yeah. I would think.
But then you've got no big man presence in the middle.
All you got to do if you're Coach Bennett, say, guys, it's going to be a full house here.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun. You know, just go out and play.
I ain't buying that.
They've already got to
jump on the league by stealing the game away at Virginia Tech.
Jump on what?
For the season.
They're not a factor. They're not going to be a factor in the ACC race. But I would think, and of course, we don't know the medical on Mike Scott, but I would think from his perspective, if he can come back, he's going to want to come back.
He's going to want to play.
If he's 100%.
Yeah. Now, maybe they sit him out of Carolina. They do have a week off between Carolina and Duke. So if he doesn't play against Carolina or Duke, then all of a sudden you might want to revisit the situation. But nevertheless, I mean, it'd be great to see him out there because he would make a big difference. Because, I mean, as Terry and I were talking before we went on, he was averaging almost 16 points a game and double-figure rebounds. So that's a lot of production on the glass and on the scoring part to take out of the lineup, particularly, you know, prior to the last, the LSU and Howard game. They got, 50, 47, and 53 points. So they were only averaging 50 points a game those three games prior to the last two wins. So it's hard to win when you're only scoring 50 points a game.
He was averaging a double-double, 10.2 boards and 15.9 points.
Yeah, but you take out a very weak Seattle game. I asked Jim a question there. Were you surprised he played against Seattle?
I was.
Yeah, just surprised he came back in. Nevertheless, they got off to a horrendous start, and they were behind. So I think they were probably trying to get him in the game, thinking he'd provide a spark and some offense. Because that's a game, because I think Seattle was, 4-10 going into that game?
Losing that game, really, if they were to go, some miracle, go 8-8, and you're trying to get in the big tournament, and you lost at home to who?
Yeah.
On when?
And well,
he's going to see him. He played in the game, but he was clearly not himself.
That's the ugliest loss to date. I mean, Iowa State is a decent basketball team.
That's
now,
a decent basketball team.
Virginia didn't play well that night, but I mean, Iowa State is not a real ugly loss. But losing to Seattle at home is a game I'm sure they'd like to have back. And not that there's that much difference between 11-4 and 10-5, but they'd certainly like to be 11-4 at this stage with the only loss at home to Iowa State.
It's going to be a tough year scoring. You can play all the defense you want to, but somewhere in the second half, you have to have a little scoring spree to give yourself a chance to win a basketball game. Because if with some of the stretches we've seen so far, it's tough projecting that into the ACC. No, this is not a stellar ACC crew this year.
Yeah.
There's some teams there that are, Wake Forest losing record, Georgia Tech 7-6. So there are clearly opportunities at home. If you play well and score sporadically, you can win.
Now, that's a good question. We've got to go to break here in about 30 seconds or a minute. But why do you think the ACC is down? Is it just a cyclical thing?
I think a lot of it. I don't know if it's one and done. These kids are coming in and leaving, and that's not, proving that's not the way to build a consistent program. And I'm not so sure that it's a kind of a coach's league where some of these guys want to go in and they want to play right away. And they want to be the show, not the program. They want to be the item that's being promoted.
On that note, we're going to go to break here. We're going to take calls from anybody interested in talking to us. 345-0910. We've got Terry Gates in the house, Jim Hobgood, myself. Who's Talking returns in just a few minutes. Who's Talking with Frank Maloney, Jim Hobgood. And in studio, we have Terry Gates, the enforcer. So, guys, let's talk about the upcoming weekend.
It's the enforcer. He always told me he was the scorer.
Gentlemen. gentleman.
Guys, give me a break. I remember.
My daughter knows me as a gentleman. Emily says I'm a gentleman.
All elbows, man. There are still guys from the old days that scream bloody
murder. With Lampbreaker and Samson, I'm surprised you ever got a shot. You must have had to go get an offensive rebound to get a shot.
You did.
A good rebounder, that's for sure.
Well, if I set three picks... I could shoot a light if I was wide open.
I played with Gerard Walker and Park Hill. It was hard to get a shot with that group.
I bet you they never threw you the ball. Hey,
a black hole.
Hey, coming back to present tense. All right, so this is the first real big weekend for ACC basketball. We've got some interesting games coming up here. Looking here, obviously Carolina coming to Charlottesville at JPJ 12 noon. Wake is at NC State down there in Raleigh. Florida State travels to Blacksburg to play the Hokies. Georgia Tech plays Boston College. And Miami is at Clemson. What do you think of those games, Hobo?
I think the Florida State-Virginia Tech game is interesting to me because, the Virginia Tech, of course, before the season and all their injuries, a lot of people thought Virginia Tech would be top two or three in the league. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they've lost JT Thompson, and now Hudson is gone, and the big kid, I think, from Petersburg, he's gone. So they really have been devastated. But still, in Blacksburg, I was surprised. Of course, we beat them in Blacksburg, and Purdue beat them in Blacksburg. So they've already had a couple of home losses. So this is a big game for the Hokies.
I think so. You've got Wake at NC State. That's a battle of a couple of the bottom feeders. At least that's the expectation.
They speak highly of you, Frank.
I know. They're just off years for these guys.
I'm going to give the nod to the Wolfpack playing at the old RBC Center, and Wake is struggling. But that's a rival game.
Although Richmond or Travis McKay is playing well, I still can't believe that Jason Williford could not have persuaded him to come to Charlottesville because his rebounding skills, low post defense, he would have fit right into Bennett's system.
Well, he's not there.
He's not there.
So and that decision might have been before Jason, wasn't it?
Yeah, the coach left, so he had a chance to revisit that.
Right.
Dino Gaudio got terminated, as they say.
Right.
So he had a chance.
But then, we've already signed about six or seven players, so how many are you signing 1 year?
I don't know. We could put him on the lacrosse team, maybe. Yeah.
Then we should ask Terry about this. Maryland at Duke. Does Maryland have a chance to go to Cameron and make it a game?
That's Sunday night.
Sunday night game. That's the Fox game on Sunday night.
I think there's just too much atmosphere down there right now for the not ready for prime time Terps. But, it's all about... You have to embrace those games. It's Sunday night. You're on TV. You have to go out there. But they don't – I think Grievous left them, didn't he? So,
yeah, he's gone.
That's the problem.
They couldn't keep Grievous a six-year, could they?
Well, no, I'm sure they would like to.
You need a player like that who wants just, hey, I'm here. I'm here to play Duke, and we're going to have a good time. We're smile about it, and that's how you beat him. You can't hide from him.
Maryland has got this hoss under the boards, Jordan Williams.
Yeah, he's a nice player.
He can get a rebound.
Yeah, he'll be strong in there. But, of course, Duke's got the Kelly kid, both Plumleys and Singler, so they're strong on the front line. Now, the interesting thing against Miami, and Kay has a tradition of doing this. He only played seven guys. I mean, he doesn't go deep on the bench.
I don't understand it. Do you?
Which it is weird because it's not like the guys 8, 9, and 10 aren't any good. I mean, the guys that don't play are still pretty good.
But you know that those guys don't want to come out.
Yeah, I mean,
they
if you
don't want to come out, so if your tongue's not hanging on the floor and your ankle doesn't hurt or anything else,
Well, most guys are like that. I mean, everybody wants to play, and if you're a starter, you like to play 35 minutes if you can.
And there's a TV timeout every 4 minutes, so it's not like you have to be in tip-top shape.
No, and most of Kay's kids over the years have been in pretty good shape, I think. Yeah. Conditioning is not a problem.
Right.
By the way, Maryland has got a freshman, Terrell Stoglin, who's got a nice game. He's averaging 13.2 points a game. That's got to be right up there at the tops of the true freshmen.
Well, Gary Williams, I mean, he has one of the teams in the ACC that over the recent years, meaning the last decade or so, has been able to go down to Cameron and usually been very competitive. They, like everybody else, hadn't won very often down there. But, I mean, he's, I think, got an occasional W down there. But they usually go down and compete pretty hard.
You've got to have that swagger, though. You need a little swagger.
But Duke is exceptional this year. Now, without Kyrie Irving, they're not quite as good. But still, I mean, God, they have talent.
Yeah.
They got more Plumleys than you can shake a stick at.
And another one coming.
Yeah.
Plumlee number three, who apparently is 7 feet, and as they, the coaches always say, you can't coach 7 feet.
Yeah.
So they're going to, you know, and then, of course, Doc Rivers' kid is coming next year.
Yeah, that's not so, right. Austin Rivers, he's a player. So number three recruit in the nation.
The rich get richer.
Yep.
Well, we've got Mike Tobey coming, 6'11", who's still only 16 years old. And when Chris Wright comes on the show in the next half hour, we're going to talk about that young man. He's playing for the Hotchkiss School up north and transferred from Don Bosco Prep over in New Jersey, which is kind of an interesting move, and then reclassified to the 2012 class. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, he committed to UVA on Sunday prior to the LSU game, which I think is interesting.
So, verbally committed. That's an early commitment. He can't even sign a letter of intent until next November.
That's right. That's right.
So he's got 10 months between now and then to think about it. Right. But hopefully he'll stick with that verbal commitment.
All right. We're headed for our second break now. Looking forward to bringing on Sabre editor Chris Wright, giving us everything going on in Charlottesville. Feel free to call us at 345-0910 or check into Facebook and give us a question or two.